As Kyle said, I have the joy of serving as our pastor at our University Boulevard campus. It's a joy to be here this morning and to be in Lyndale. When I got here, the first thing I did, I went straight to Lewis's office. I sat there for a few minutes, and I instantly felt more holy. I did. It was like the Shekinah glory of God was shining upon me in his office. So, I just want to say this. I love your pastor. I do. I admire him as well. You can clap for him, yes. You know, when he came and spoke at the University Boulevard campus, he did not get an ovation when he talked about me. So I'm a little bitter about that now, guys, all right? No, your staff here, your leadership, your elders, like, they love Jesus and they love you. They're not perfect by any means. They are not. But this is a good, healthy church. It's a good, healthy campus. And I think it has a lot to do with the staff, the leadership, and the elders here, and including your pastor. I tell Lewis this often, that he is a thousand times better pastor than I can ever dream about being. He is a shepherd at heart. He loves you. He's not perfect at all. But man, he serves in ways you have no clue. And so I love your pastor. Be encouraged by that this morning. All right? Be encouraged by it. Hey, this summer, as Kyle mentioned, this summer at all four campuses, we're going to lock in on a sermon series together. And we're going to focus in throughout the summer studying the Ten Commandments. We're going to study the Ten Commandments. Now, our method is going to be really simple. We're going to take a commandment per week and unpack the truth of each commandment. As I was thinking about studying through the Ten Commandments, I thought, well, where are my notes on a sermon series that we've done on the Ten Commandments? I've been here on staff for 13 years now, and guess what I realized? We have never studied or done a sermon series on the Ten Commandments. Guys, I think we're a failure of a church now. Like, right? 13 years, certainly we have referenced the Ten Commandments, but we actually never have unpacked the truth and really just went deep into the Ten Commandments. And so again, our approach this summer is going to be really simple. A commandment a week. But what we want to do today at each of our campuses, but also next week as well, is really just set the table. So we're going to put some dishes out on the table. We're going to put some cups on the table. Put some forks and knives and spoons on the table today. Just getting ready to start to unpack the depth and the truth of each commandment that God has given us. So we're thrilled about this and excited about it. And here's my goal this morning. It's very, very simple. Simply want to look at the why behind a series on the Ten Commandments. And then secondly, look at the why behind the Ten Commandments themselves. Why did God provide these? Why did he give these to us? So this morning, why would we do a sermon series throughout the summer on the Ten Commandments, and then also, what is the why behind the Ten Commandments? So if you have a Bible with you, let's open them up, and let's go to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, we'll start in verse 1 here in a moment. Exodus chapter 20, in verse 1. I'll give you a heads up, we are not going to make it past verse 2. Now, if you're like, oh, great, man, we're getting to Chili's earlier than the Baptists, sorry, that's not going to be the case. Is Chili's even a good reference? I don't even know, all right? So, verses 1 and 2 together here, okay? Here we go. And God spoke all these words, saying, and just let that sink in for a moment. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Now, before we go any further, I think we need to make sure we understand the context of exactly what is taking place here. Now, remember, God's people, prior to Exodus 20, God's people had been enslaved in Egypt. Anybody remember how long they were enslaved? 400 years. But just put that in perspective for a moment. In about a month from now, our country will turn 245 years old. That's nowhere close to 400 years, right? A 400-year period of enslavement in Egypt for God's people. But through the Passover, God provides an exodus through the leadership of Moses. I always love a fun little fact about Moses. In that moment, he was 80 years old. So when he should have been retiring in Florida, planting a garden and playing golf, he spends the last 40 years of his life, his retirement, leading very nice, shiny, happy people, right? Like, that is an awful way to spend the last 40 years of your life in the wilderness, leading a group of people. At one moment, they are loving the Lord, and at the next moment, they are worshiping a golden calf. And then the next moment, they're turning to Moses saying, "You brought us out here to die." I'm sure he would have said, "Man, I'm done." But he spends 40 years leading them to a place that he himself will never step foot into, the promised land. But during that 40-year period, Exodus 20 takes place. God calls him up to Mount Sinai, and God opens his mouth, and he speaks to Moses. He speaks to Moses, and what did he proclaim? He proclaims out of his mouth 10 commandments of truth for God's people. Just a reminder of what those commandments, what they are. The first, God opens his mouth and proclaims, you shall have no other gods before me. And then God proclaims, you shall not make for yourself an idol. Then God proclaims, you shall not take the name of God in vain. Then God proclaims, remember the Sabbath. Then God proclaims, honor your father and mother. Then God proclaims, you shall not murder. And then he proclaims, you shall not commit adultery. And then he proclaims, you shall not steal. You shall not lie. And then he concludes, you shall not covet. Like, this is what, when God opened his mouth and spoke to Moses, this is what he chose to share with him. So why would we take an entire summer, again, at each of our campuses and lock in week by week on these commands? I think it's vital right now for us to do so. Here's why. One of the reasons is tied to our current culture. The other reason is tied to the church. So let's talk culture for a moment. I think it's vital for us to lock in on the Ten Commandments this summer because there is a new moral code in our culture. A new moral code. Meaning this, that at one time, not too long ago, in our culture, the moral code among us in our nation really was shaped and molded by Exodus chapter 20, the Ten Commandments. There was a moral code in our culture. But that code has progressively moved in a different direction now to where it has moved away from being shaped by Exodus 20 and has moved towards being shaped by relativism. So when we say relativism, what in the world are we talking about? That relativism is simply the doctrine that knowledge, truth, and morality exist in relation to culture, society, or historical context. And here's the key part. And are not, help me out, not what? Absolute. Meaning that you can believe one thing, you believe another thing, and I believe something, and we cannot tell each other which is right. It's all relative. Which on the surface level sounds pretty good, but when you start to dig deep into it, it is full of contradictions. Let me illustrate it this way. So in his book on the Ten Commandments, Kevin DeYoung shares an illustration that took place recently. He shares of a story about two men who joined together and they wanted to form their own called Ten Non-Commandments. So, John Baer, who is an executive at Airbnb, Lex Baer, sorry, and then John Figdor, who is a humanist chaplain at Stanford. That's an interesting title. That they joined together, they surveyed nearly 2,800 people, and these 2,800 people submitted their new 10 non-commandments. Well, these two gentlemen put together a panel of 13 judges who would decide what the 10 non-commandments would be. They had $10,000 at their disposal to give to the winners, and this is what they came up with. Here are the new 10 non-commandments for our culture. Some of these, by the way, you may agree with. Some of these you go, no, there's no way. But just consider the following. The first commandment, be open-minded and be willing to alter your beliefs with new evidence. The second commandment, strive to understand what is most likely to be true, not to believe what you wish were to be true. The third commandment, the scientific method is the most reliable way of understanding the natural world. The fourth, every person has a right to control of their body. Number five, God is not necessary to be a good person or to live a full and meaningful life. Number six, be mindful of the consequences of your actions and recognize that you must take responsibility. I agree with that one. Number seven, treat others as you would want them to treat you. That sounds really familiar, doesn't it? Interesting. Number eight, we have the responsibility to consider others, including future generations. Number nine, there is no one right way to live. And number 10, leave the world a better place than you found it. Again, some of those you may agree with. Some of those I agree with. And then I read some of those, and I find this really interesting because the 10 non-commandments are a contradiction, because the 10 non-commandments are actually what? They're commandments to live by. The only thing that happened here was, let's take the 10 commandments from the Old Testament, let's change it up, modernize it a little bit more, and now we basically have 10 new commandments that we give people to live by. Even though we would proclaim that in the 9th commandment, there's no one right way to live, that in itself is a commandment. On the surface level, it looks like, oh, that doesn't pass judgment upon anybody, but you're actually doing that very thing because you're taking that commandment and you're placing it upon somebody. That is the new moral code of our culture. So now we're going to take basically 12 weeks as a church. We're going to be reminded of the truth that came out of God's mouth that he proclaimed to Moses, and we're going to consider over the next 12 weeks, how does that still apply even in a culture that gives itself to relativism? Now, that first reason why we're doing this is tied to culture. The second reason why we're doing this is tied to the church. Here's what we know is true, that even in the church today, some of us view the Ten Commandments through the lens of Charlton Heston, right? When we think of the Ten Commandments, we think of Charlton Heston, right? That's probably a generational gap in this room right now, by the way. Some of us view the Ten Commandments through the lens of VeggieTales, animation, right? But then some of us view the Ten Commandments through a different lens, a lens of those are ancient documents, ancient things that God said to a group of people, and they really don't apply to me today. Or some of us view it through the lens of those are 10 things not to do. So this was the context in which I grew up. I grew up in a Christian family, a great Christian family. I grew up in the church. We were always at the church. But not until I was 17 years old did I begin to realize that the Ten Commandments are not this list of things you don't do, and if you don't do those things, then God approves of you. That's the way I viewed them for 17 years. And then my view of them completely changed. I fear that that view still takes place here in the church today, and here's a bigger fear for me, is that here in the church today, we are missing the brilliancy of what came out of God's mouth when he proclaimed these commandments and the power that they still have in our lives today. So let me illustrate it in a very, very lighthearted way. Several years ago, I was coaching a youth basketball team for two of our boys. So we have a 15-year-old, we have a 14-year-old, and a 9-year-old. The two oldest are playing on the same basketball team. We're playing at the YMCA in Tyler. And the team we were playing this particular Saturday, I don't know how else to put it, they just weren't good. All right? I sound like a jerk by saying that, right? They just weren't a great team. We were not like the greatest of all teams. This team was just not that good. So we're pounding this team. There's 2 minutes left in the game. I think we're up by 20 at this point. And then something happened on the basketball court. A kid for the opposite team got the rebound of a missed shot, turned, and when he turned, he ran the length of the court. Did you catch what I just shared? He ran the length of the court, and the basketball never touched the floor. If you know anything about basketball, you can't do that. You have to dribble the basketball. And it was interesting because when he grabbed the rebound, he turned and he ran down the side of the court where our bench was, and then his team where their bench was as well. And then the referee was right between us. I'm about to confess something to you that probably will result in me never being asked to come back to Lindell. Because as that kid ran the length of the court for a touchdown, so we're playing basketball, he ran right past me. Again, we're up by 20, and I'm turning to the referee standing right next to me. I'm like, doing this. Like, you going to call that? You going to call this? And the referee will not acknowledge me at all. So the injustice within me, I'm like, are you going to call this? Come on, man. And the kid runs right past us, goes down, and this was the icing on the cake. Throws up a shot. It goes in. And I'm like, are we going to call this, man? Am I going to get thrown out of this game? I may get thrown out of this game right now, right? If you don't call this. 2 minutes late, and the crowd goes nuts. Their crowd goes nuts. And I'm sitting there with my arms crossed going, we're not going to call this? 2 minutes later, game is over. Walk over to shake hands with the opposing coach. This is what the opposing coach said to me. Hey, I just want to pull you aside here for a moment and just want to thank you for the way that you handled that no call. I was like, oh, yeah, absolutely. I don't care. I'm fine. I thought it was great that your kid never dribbled the basketball. You're a great coach. Like I said, I may never get asked back to Lindell because of this, and I understand why. And then the coach said these words. Hey, the kid who shot that basketball, he's autistic. I felt like the worst human being in the world, right? He goes, he's autistic, and he goes, and actually, that's the first shot he has ever made in a game. Which explained why their team and their fans were going nuts when the kid made the basket. Like, that's what should be on SportsCenter tonight, right? Like, that's the video that should go viral. The problem is with this video in particular, it couldn't because the opposing coach is over there going like this as the kid's running down the court. And so, but when their coach shared that, I thought, that's an amazing moment. Something special was taking place on the basketball court that day. And the joy that it brought that young man, I don't know. Like, I can't imagine the joy it brought him, but also his family and his teammates. Like, they celebrated, and rightfully so, because it was an amazing moment. But here's the problem. Something amazing was taking place right in front of me, and I completely missed it. Because I was wrapped up in myself. I was wrapped up in what I thought was best, what I thought was right. And I missed the brilliance of something that was right in front of me. And I fear that even within the church today, that when it comes to something like the Ten Commandments, there is something so brilliant, so good, and so true and right that God has proclaimed to us. And we pass it off as an old movie with bad graphics or animation. Or we relegate it to, that's just outdated and it doesn't apply to me because it restricts me. And that is completely missing the brilliance of what God has given us through the Ten Commandments. So I ask you this morning, Lindell Campus, when it comes to the Ten Commandments and the role the Ten Commandments play in your life right now and your relationship with the Lord, I want to ask you, have you dismissed them and have you formed your own non-commandments? Do you have a misunderstanding of the purpose of the Ten Commandments? Were you taught that these are the 10 things to obey, and if you don't obey these, then God is angry with you and that you're not approved by Him? Do you lack clarity about the Ten Commandments? Or are you currently numb to the power of the truth that the Ten Commandments possess? That's why this summer that we're taking time to study God's Word and to dive deep into the truth of what God has given us. So I want to conclude here. Why has God given us the Ten Commandments? Now, let me say this up front. There is a long list of why God has given us the Ten Commandments, but I want to simply give you three prominent reasons why He's given us the Ten Commandments. Number one, why has He given these to us? Because the Ten Commandments help us to understand the preeminence of salvation by grace. That kind of seems like an odd way to start it, right? It shows us the preeminence of salvation by grace. Go back into verse 2 for a moment. Look at verse 2 together. God proclaims to Moses, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery." You know, it's really interesting because we tend to jump straight to the commandments and we miss even the verse that kicks off the commandments. Why in the world would God remind Moses of the fact that his people once lived in Egypt and they were enslaved in Egypt, but now God has saved them and freed them? Here's why. And I've been so excited about sharing this all week. Look at the order. What took place first was God freeing his people out of enslavement. An exodus, a salvation. God saved his people. Then God provides later on the commandments. That is a theme throughout the scriptures, and it is an absolute truth of the gospel, right? God saves us through the cross by his grace and his grace alone. That takes place first. Then God provides the commandments. He provides the boundaries. He provides the way of living. It's a dangerous place in the church if we ever reverse the order, because what it will result in is bad, bad theology. Bad theology that would proclaim, obey these commandments first, then God will approve of you, and then you're saved. That is not the truth biblically, and it's not the gospel. And it was not the truth even in the Old Testament. The truth was God's salvation by grace first and foremost. Why has God given us the Ten Commandments? One of the reasons, it proclaims even the preeminence of salvation by grace. Number two, God has given us the Ten Commandments because the Ten Commandments display that God is for our good. Let me say that again. The Ten Commandments display that God is for our good. Oftentimes, we view the Ten Commandments as these are rules and restrictions. These are rules and restrictions. That is not the truth about the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments and any commandment that God would give allows us to enjoy the goodness of God within boundaries that are for our good. The disciple John even chimed in on this in 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. Notice what John proclaims. He says, "For this is the love of God." Talking about the Ten Commandments, he says, "This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not," help me out, "are not" what?
Burdensome.
Man, you guys are so much better than the UB campus at that, by the way. Lindell 1, UB 0. I hope this is not being recorded, by the way. So, did you catch that? God's commandments are not burdensome. They're not a burden for you. They actually lead you to experiencing the love of God in deeper ways, and they ultimately are for your good. So over the last couple of months, Kara and I have had the joy of walking through with our 15-year-old driver's ed. We got that going for us, guys. You know, it actually has been a great bonding experience for us with our 15-year-old. We've enjoyed this. But I tell you what, I have to admit to you that there have been some things as we've been watching the curriculum and going through the curriculum, I'm like, wow, I never knew that. That's interesting. I never certainly have not obeyed that, never have known that. And as we've been walking through this, I've been reminded that when I was 16, I viewed driver's ed and traffic laws as restrictions. I'm getting my license, man. I'm free now. These things are just restricting me. And now, just maybe a couple of years later-ish, I view them through a totally different lens, to where I've realized more and more, like, these laws actually are for my good, for my protection, but also not just for my protection, but for the protection of people around me as well. And that's exactly the case when it comes to the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are not prison bars. They're more like traffic laws designed by the ultimate, all-knowing, all-glorious, all-sufficient God who says, I look at you and I provide these for your good and for the good of people around you. Lastly, why the Ten Commandments? The Ten Commandments reveal the heart and the character of God. The Ten Commandments reveal to us the heart and character of God. Verse 1, God spoke all these words. That's how this chapter starts. God spoke all these words. Remember what is proclaimed in the New Testament? Out of the overflow of the heart, the what? The mouth will speak. So when God opened up his mouth and he spoke these to Moses, he was not saying, man, I got to provide some rules and restrictions here. They're just going to be a burden for my people. No, when he opened up his mouth, the overflow out of his mouth was his heart and his character and the very nature of who he is. You know what it means? It means for us that when God spoke, he was not speaking random rules, but God was telling us what is near to his heart. The Ten Commandments show us what God wants. The Ten Commandments show us what God is like. The Ten Commandments, they say something about what God honors. The Ten Commandments say something about what matters to God, and the Ten Commandments say something about what God opposes. He is a holy, perfect, good, all-knowing, all-wise God. And he chose, when he spoke these commandments, he chose to proclaim to us what his heart and his character is all about. So for the next several weeks, we're not blowing the dust off of some tablets. Over the next several weeks, we're not moving towards legalism. Over the next several weeks, we're certainly not moving towards relativism. Over the next several weeks as a church, we are moving deeper into the heart and the character and the nature of God. That's our hope. Let's pray together. Before we close our service out, I'd love to give you just a moment right now just to spend some time with the Lord in prayer. And maybe it's a time of confession. Maybe it's a time of, God, open my heart this summer to the truth of you and the truth that these commandments hold. Maybe it's a time of confessing to God, Lord, my heart is numb right now. Or maybe, God, I have formed my own non-commandments. Just spend some time with the Lord right now, and I'll close this out in prayer in just a second. Lord, we pray that this summer you'd really have your way with our lives. Your spirit would stir in a powerful way within our hearts, the heart of this church. God, I pray that throughout this series that truly, God, we would grasp in deeper ways just what your heart is like, what your character is about. And God, that would change us. God, we pray, Lord, that as we live in a culture that has moved away from the truth that these commandments hold, God, that you would shine through us. People would not see us, but they would see the beauty and the glory of you, Christ. Lord, I thank you for the Lindale campus. I praise you, Lord, for what you're doing here. God, I thank you for a not perfect, but a good, biblically based, gospel-centered, healthy church and a community of believers here that love their community. They love East Texas, and I pray that you would shine through them. Lord, we love you. We thank you for time and your word together. We thank you for the power of it, and we pray that you continue to transform our lives to reflect you more and more. And we pray this in your name, Christ. Amen. Hey, church, as we close out our service today, just one final announcement. It was mentioned in the video announcements, but in case you missed it, on June 20th, all four campuses will be affirming our next budget, which will start July 1st. So we intentionally say we affirm the budget. We don't vote on it. Our elders have done an incredible job. Our staff has done an incredible job of working hard and trying to be wise as we form this new budget. We are not hiding anything from you. And so if you'd like to know more about the budget, you can go to our app or you can go to our website. And it's all there. It's transparent. You can certainly look at what we are proposing and planning on for the next year. If you have any questions, I know leadership here or myself, we'd love to talk with you about that. And we will be open with you as well. We always want to be good stewards of what God has entrusted to us and be transparent to the church as well, so nothing shady is taking place behind the scenes. But with that being said, we're excited to affirm our budget on June 20th. So just a heads up that that is coming. Again, the app or the website, best places to go to learn more about it. We love you guys. Thanks for letting me be here with you this morning. Hope you have a great, great Sunday.